Good morning. It is Saturday, October the 26th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We, as you know, are pressing into Saturdays now with our wake-up call daily text entries. We're covering a marathon through Exodus, 40 chapters, and I believe 14 weeks. So we had to take on Saturdays. We're missing our Holy Spirit stories. We know we're trying to sneak some of those in on Sundays. Tomorrow we're going to have a psalm. You know, I've been out in Georgia most of the week, and I'm back in Arkansas, but I was not able to get a Holy Spirit story queued up in time, so we'll have a psalm for you tomorrow, but we got to get to today. It's Saturday, and we're going to open with consecration today. Are you ready? Turn on the lights. Let there be light. Let there be breath. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in whom we live and move and have our being, wholeheartedly, exclusively, undividedly. That's our prayer. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you. Monotheism in the land of polytheism. Our text is Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. the word of the Lord. Now consider this. I hope you're listening. I know you are. I know you're trying to. A lot of times we can kind of tune out when Scripture is being read. I mean, this is the main course, friends. I'm kind of bringing you a dessert dish with what I have to say, but the text is the main course. It's unbelievable, and it's storytelling, and its sweep and its detail. And anyway, just want to note that the Bible tells us a lot, yet there is so much the Bible doesn't tell us. We aren't getting the comprehensive daily logs of all the happenings of the Israelites on this journey. We're getting the Holy Spirit inspired highlights: cloud by day, fire by night, quail in the morning, evening, manna in the morning. Moses raises his arms with the staff of God and the defeat of the Amalekites. Moses builds an altar and names it, "The Lord is my banner." Moses' in-laws visit. One of these things is not like the others, right? Why so much about Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' in-laws, who pays a visit to Moses? Why might the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writer of the text, want us to know about Moses' in-laws? This is a good principle of Bible study, to ask why certain things are included in the text and other things left out. In the very last verse of the Gospel of John, we get this: Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. That's verse chapter 21, 25. The Holy Spirit is very selective about what gets included in Scripture. Everything is there for a purpose. We must be more curious about the purpose. So why such detail about a visit from the in-laws? I have maybe two observations from today's text. He, Jethro, said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians." These times, perhaps like all times, in one way or another, were very polytheistic, many gods. They were very polytheistic times. There were many so-called gods. Jethro was a priest of one of these gods. He was the priest of Midian. It's what makes his next comment worthy of note. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Notice the phrase, "greater than all other gods." In these times, which differ from our times only in the names of the false gods, everyone was a polytheist. There is always room for another god in the pantheon of deities. It highlights the political correctness violation of a statement like "greater than all other gods." Friends, we, the followers of Jesus Messiah, are monotheists, people of one God. All of life is received from, mediated by, and lived through the one true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. It has me remembering a moment from the COVID-19 global pandemic. I'll remember it here while stripping out any names, because it demonstrates just how salient this matter remains. One of the leading governmental voices from our nation made the following remarks in an interview context. Our behavior has stopped the spread of the virus. God did not stop the spread of the virus. And in case it was considered a misguided stroke of bad judgment or that he really didn't mean what he said, he later said this: the number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. It reveals the widely held conviction that God is, at best, one possible actor among many others, even daring to place human beings on the same level, if not on a higher level in this instance. Here's a translation of the statement. Human behavior is greater than all other gods. It's kind of a modern-day Genesis 11 Tower of Babel moment. This is not a critique of the leader who is a professing Christian, and it's certainly not a political statement. It is rather a reflection of the broadly sweeping spirit of the age in which we live. Imagine if Jethro had said, "The Israelites were delivered from Pharaoh because Moses delivered them." God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. Moses did it. It would be shocking, to say the least. Jethro said a very different thing, and then he doubled down on it. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." He not only said it and reinforced it, but he sealed it at an altar. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. You are the one and only true and living God. Search me and reveal my own tendencies to acknowledge, salute, and maybe even unwittingly worship other gods in addition to you, the one true and living God. I think of the God of money, the God of image and reputation and standing in the community, which is another way of saying the God of what other people think, the God of education and skill and talent and so many more. It's not that I would put other gods before you. It's that I would have other gods at all that cuts me to the heart. You alone are God. This is my faith. You alone. Deliver me from my dependence on any other God, any other source, my dependence making it a God, and into the exclusive trust and dependence in you alone. It will be for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 The journal prompts today: are you a practicing polytheist, a person of many gods, even an unwitting one? Is the God of heaven and earth in a category of his own? Is the God of heaven and earth the only God in your pantheon? No other categories. Are you learning to live your entire life and to receive all its sources through the one true and living God, who is Jesus Christ? We're going to sing in a minute. It's a great Charles Wesley hymn. It's called Father in Whom We Live. It's going to be number 25 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. This was a long entry today, and on a Saturday, no less. I get it. I'm going to have to wrap here pretty quick, but just want to encourage you today just to be honest. I mean, we're living a real life in a real world, and it's just so easy to slide into the ditch and to begin to over-depend on many different things. See, that's how we create a false god. Out of something good that God has done and given us, that's, I think, what a false god is a good that's turned into a god. Take one of the O's out. And we just begin to shift our dependence on God to that other thing, and then we begin to devote our energy to getting that other thing. It can be, like I said earlier, it can be money, it can be our reputation, it can be our image, it can be our talent, our skill, our vocation, so many things that are good in our life that we just begin to create a direct line of source and dependence on, as opposed to receiving it from God and recognizing that this is a good that God has given us. And let's keep our line directly to the Lord, the one true and living God. You get my point. I know you do. And that's why we just have to, we don't even know it. This sneaks up on us. We have to just say, search my heart, Lord. Know me. Show me. Reveal it to me. A lot of times you see this in other people. Here's a little aphorism for you. when you see another person, you say, man, those people are worshiping money. Okay, if you spot it, you got it. That's a sign it's creeping up in your own life, that you're seeing it and diagnosing it in another. That's why he says, take the plank out of your own eye. Don't pull the speck out of your brother, your friend, your sister's eyes. Look at yourself. All right, here we go. Number 25. Father in whom we live, in whom we are and move, the glory, power, and praise receive for thy creating love. Let all the angel throng give thanks to God on high, while earth repeat the joyful song and echoes to the sky. Incarnate deity, let all the ransomed race render in thanks their lives to thee for thy redeeming grace. The grace to sinners shown, ye heavenly choirs proclaim, and cry salvation to our God, salvation to the Lamb. Spirit of holiness, let all thy saints adore thy sacred energy and bless thy heart-renewing power. No angel tongues can tell thy love's ecstatic height, the glorious joy unspeakable, the beatific sight. Eternal triune God, let all the hosts above Let all on earth below record and dwell upon thy love. When heaven and earth are fled before thy glorious face, sing all the saints thy love hath made thine everlasting praise. Amen. Well, there's so much more I would love to share this morning. We'll get to it. Maybe some more tomorrow. I want to tell you about my trip to Georgia and the first ever Wake Up Call Taco Tuesday tour stop. It was marvelous. Yes. Thank you, Good Shepherd Church in Savannah. We got to close out, though. It's Saturday. You got stuff to do. You got seeds to sow. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.